Desert Nets at 104.4.
Thank you. Everybody, this is Dave Grohl saying hi to Turin Breaks.
Turin Breaks. We are here again.
We're very pleased to be here again. We're going to play some, a whole load of stuff, but some soundtrack-inspired stuff. And we're going to talk about movie soundtracks a little bit and play a bunch of other stuff that we like. And it'll probably be a bit messy, but hopefully it'll be nice. We're going to kind of play something straight away, I think, aren't we, Gal?
We are, yeah, but you know what it is and I don't.
Yeah.
So let's see what happens.
Okay, let's play Soundtrack Lottery.
Soundtrack Lottery, here we go. Name this movie.
Oh, Ah, badly drawn boy there.
What a nice tune, eh?
I think that's one of my favourite songs he ever made.
Yeah, me too.
We kind of spent a bit of time running into Badly Drawn Boy over the years, he was always a remarkably, even though he was in the middle of like mayhem and being very popular and, you know, headlining shows and all that kind of stuff, he always had a lot of time for us, which made us like him and feel close to him, didn't it, Gary?
Yeah, he was a lot of fun.
I don't know why we're using the past tense here, because he's still around.
He still could be, yeah, exactly. But we were playing that because we thought we might play a few soundtrack songs today. We thought we might go with that kind of idea, as well as, you know, do other things.
Tenuous links.
Tenuous links, as we like to say, yeah. So we were thinking about playing another great movie soundtrack.
Yes, which is every time we do this, we find a way to play a band called Fugazi.
That's right. Okay, Fugazi haven't actually made. Well, they have. They've made a soundtrack to a film called Instrument, which is all about Fugazi. Which is probably what we're going to have to do in order to get a soundtrack commission.
what make our own film?
Make a documentary about us, and yeah. Then we can soundtrack it. Because that seems to be the way it goes.
It's happening. I can see that happening.
It's happening right
now.
I've
got the footage.
But so this is a track that I absolutely love from Instrument by Fugazi. It's called Turkish Disco. By the way, I hope you enjoy the ambience here. It's just because we're merely gas floating in space. Of course, the incredible Fugazi right there from Instrument, track called Turkish Disco. I did meet Fugazi once, actually. Way before I was a rock star, yeah.
Before you were a rock star?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Way before I became an international rock star. I knew someone who was a DJ in Camden, and he was really good friends with Fugazi. And so once they were playing at Brixton Academy, and I got to meet them all beforehand. They were just setting up their pedals. On that massive stage at Brixton, their own pedals, and they just came and said hello, and they just thought, you know, they were They're very clean-minded, you know? You could tell they weren't drinking
like,
or kind of crazy.
Straight edge or whatever it's called.
Yeah, they're straight edge, yeah. Well,
straight edge is basically...
It's like drinking without drinking.
It's like living a clean life to extremes.
Yeah.
In a punk rock manner. I really like that. Henry Rollins is another straight edge kind of guy, isn't he?
Apparently, yeah. I mean, I'm actually pretty sure I've seen him sneaking a few sips, actually, at the festivals. Yeah, he's always got his little flask. Have you noticed that?
That's why he's got such a big neck, because he keeps beer in either side. Just, you know, anyway. So we're going to play another soundtracky sort of thing that we love. I haven't heard this for a long time, actually. I used to listen to this record a lot. It's from the Virgin Suicides. But the cool thing about this is the drummer featuring on this track, which is by Air... is Brian Reitzel, who played all over Aethersong and, you know, became our pal.
He actually went on to be a music supervisor for lots of big Hollywood films, like Lost in Translation was a big one that kind of broke him into the world. But he was talking about it when we were recording with him in 2003. So there's another massive tenuous link dangling.
Tenuous links. Thank you. was Air from the Virgin Suicides, featuring the beautiful drumming of Brian Reitzel. I just love his fills.
What a drummer, eh?
He's just a genius, isn't he?
What a sound. What a sound.
Fat fills. Isn't this exciting, Gary?
This is really exciting, yeah.
We just love this.
It's what Wednesday night should always be about, really. Hint, hint. We thought we'd make it a policy that we always mention another drummer who isn't our drummer, who's Rob Allam, who at this moment in time is actually apparently on a bus on his way to do a gig with the High Llamas, so he's not listening.
We couldn't work out what kind of a bus it was, though.
Ollie thought it was a mega bus, and I say it's probably National Express.
It can't be a fancy tour bus, can it?
It just can't be. No. Well, it could be. But if it was a van, you'd call it a van, wouldn't you?
You'd call it a splitter.
And if it was a mega bus, you'd call it a bus. But anyway, what a great drummer Brian Reitzel is, eh?
He's a fantastic drummer. I can't actually remember what's coming up next.
We were going to remind everyone, or let everyone know, that today a British film called Attack the Block is hitting the cinema screens. I think it's about an alien invasion
in Stockwell.
Is it Stockwell?
It's Stockwell, which is where I lived when I was a baby, up until I was two.
There you go.
Isn't that amazing? Tenuous links.
But even more tenuous links. A while ago, I saw the Basement Jacks, Felix and Simon, who kind of do things near us, and they said, oh, we've just been involved in a soundtrack, and it was kind of exciting for them. So finally realised that this was the film, which is directed by Joe Cornish from Adam and Joe. This is the film that they've done the soundtrack for. But also we went to their place not that long ago, and we're kind of just catching up with them a bit and discussing a bit of how music is made. And I guess from our point of view, I was trying to get out of them how technology has changed them. But what we gathered, as you'll hear in this interview, I think, is that the technology kind of birthed them, really, in some way. You know, the idea of cut and paste is what Basement Jacks and lots of music being made at that time was about. They weren't people that were playing songs like hippies and then transferred to sampling. The whole ethos was already in the sequencer. Anyway, that's what I deduced from this whole thing.
Very funny, though, because you could tell that we were used to kind of making up songs from scratch with guitars and worrying about, like, verses and middle eights and, you know, catchy choruses. And it was like the North Pole and the South Pole talking to each other, wasn't it? And they were just on a totally different trip. I cut out a lot of this interview because there was a lot of ums and not really. Things like that was happening a lot because we just couldn't explain ourselves properly to them. But it's nice anyway. And enjoy this interview. That's basically what I'm saying.
That's the message.
Here it comes.
Hello, guys. Oh, yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, all good.
Is it alright if we have a quick chat?
Yeah.
For like 5 minutes?
Just now
record
that thing.
Oh, yeah. No, well, this is our vocal booth. So, and then we've got another setup there as well.
So you both work together at the same time.
And then kind of one of us can get on with something else, and you know, that's, if we're mixing something, we do it in there. But like, for putting bits together, here's fine. I mean, it's a bit shit because you have to work with headphones, and it's kind of,
yeah,
by this stage we should have got on with it further. But you know, do you want a cup of tea?
So you want to do a little filmed interview or what?
We'd like to just record it audio. Resonance FM.
Yeah,
we've got a show there next week, and we'd like to just jump out to hear kind of for a quick. Probably give us a bit of time to tune up a guitar and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and you know, it'd also be interesting.
Yeah,
to find out how you guys work. So you don't do it all inside a computer. You do it with real things.
We do. We do a bit of both. I mean, yeah, we're trying to come back out and use these a bit more.
Right.
It is very easy to do all in there, but then
Have you been doing it all in there for like?
There's quite a few things that we have done. But we use this more now for bass. This is good for bass. And
in the old days, it used to be the Juno, the beginning.
And samplers,
But this used to have loads of samplers in here. And that was kind of where, but they're all gone and we don't really use anything really in here now.
Well, a vocal not that was for, because we didn't, you couldn't record audio. So we used to record singers onto DAT and then sample them onto the sampler and then play them in on here. That's the first two albums, it was all done like playing samples. Yeah.
No way.
But so it was like, quite a good way, cause you red alert, up... red alert, it's catastrophe. Don't worry. Yeah, like that.
No way.
Yeah. It took ages, it's a right pain in the ass. That's why some of the songs are short as well, because we didn't have any more room.
Yeah.
Well, because you had to say, like, what you had in the sample, it was like, well, we can't have the second verse. We haven't got enough room.
So you just had nothing to record audio with?
No, because it was Cubase, just the sequencer. That's all we had, sequencer, and we didn't have a tape machine or anything.
So your mentality was really that, sequencing.
Yeah.
And to get audio...
And sampling, everything was sampling, really. Vocals, everything, was all playing it in. But that made, in a way, I think it made us do things in a different way.
Yeah.
Because you pare down to what's important.
Then your elbow actually hits that vocal. You go, oh, actually, that sounds quite good. And do you know what I mean? It's sort of...
Yeah.
And also, having audio, it's wicked. Like, you can play loads of guitar parts and loads of... But then you got all this shit to do with, you know. Mm. It's just...
Do you find
a lot of stuff?
Do you find like the cut and paste nature of working inside a an audio program like Logic or whatever you use? Or do you find it's changed your music? Do you think it's actually changed?
Well, you can put more stuff in, can't you? Probably, so you can have layers and layers. I think like good luck we had. Well, that was when we'd started using Logic and we didn't know how to use it, and we had like 100 or so tracks, and we couldn't actually find some of the noise, and we're like, well.
Yeah,
it's in there, and put a crash over it because it masks it a bit. It's all right, you know. It's gonna.
That's yeah. That's like how
they
we
probably
do.
Started. Off with, they probably started off with cut and paste in their head.
Right, yeah, of course. From a yeah. So it's probably less cut and paste in a weird way, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I guess that will make it less cut and paste.
Yeah.
We got this theory about how they change the music. The whole music scene changes. Not the scene, you know, the landscape. From like Joni Mitchell doing demos, as it were, and what a demo meant.
Mm-hmm.
And then to, I don't know, when we were doing demos, and then you have a full track at home. And then to now, if you're doing a demo, I guess you have GarageBand or something at home, and you can do really high-end demo, but also you can cut and paste everything. And the whole mentality is completely different of how you're making music. But I guess with you guys, because you started off on a sequencer and you're kind of cutting and pasting a lot of stuff anyway, the cut and paste nature hasn't changed. The technology hasn't maybe changed the way that you're creating from the beginning. Because the cut and paste nature has kind of always been there, if you see what I'm saying.
I think it's got more complex how we do everything, which doesn't always help because you don't want it to be more complex. Because you want to have less to think about, don't you? Because then you can simplify your vision or
limitations
whatever.
Is definitely good.
Yeah.
And there's no limitations now.
Yeah, that's what we find.
Is that why you're bringing these out to try and?
Well, this is good because it's good for bass. It's more solid than those basses, and I mean, mono solid things I quite like.
When you start a track, like what would a demo be for Basement Jacks, as it were?
Do your demos evolve into finished tracks, or
I just play. Simon's not been in this week, so I just played him about 10 things and like what sounds good. So that's some is like an up tempo track for the clubs, some's kind of and he's like, that sounds, you know, old, and it's we've been there a million times, and it's different each time. Sometimes it's just some words, that's the spark. Sometimes it's a bass line, sometimes it's just I don't know, a good sounding bagpipe or something, you know.
And would you just keep building on it so it kind of snowballs into the final thing?
Yeah, or it snowballs out the room.
Right.
And we've got thousands of snowballs in there that are kind of are a bit small and misshapen, and some of them have just melted to nothingness.
Yo, 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 yo. Yo, yo, yo.
Don't worry, don't panic. Ain't nothing going on but history.
Was Basement Jacks there, and they work in a studio just upstairs from our studio, so we bump into them often.
It was very interesting listening to them talk about how they got that track together that we just heard, because it's not really how I imagined it getting together. I guess
we're going to play a track that we were listening to a lot in America when we were there almost a whole year ago now, driving around America with Eddie Meyer, and having a great time listening to some very non-Turing Breaks music, because we like to take little sonic holidays every now and then. And this next track really does feel like a sonic holiday. It's from Washed Out. It's called Feel It All Around.
I'm not afraid to
Here we are.
Yeah, we're just hanging out by a campfire now, aren't we?
We are, yeah, warming our boots.
We're big fans of the outdoors, aren't we, Gal?
That's right, we're big fans of the night sky and the forests and the crickets and the fires.
We've shifted. And we're going to play a song now by the campfire, because it's a real campfire tune, by Sevado, called Brand New Love. And I always remember... Well, actually, I'll tell you the story about the song afterwards.
Was it name-dropping? Was it more relentless name-dropping?
It was more tenuous links.
Excellent.
Restless eyes closed, maybe it will go away. Please rest tomorrow, bring a satisfied day. The restless urge of love, it's worth burning for. Surely is there one can see love to give you more. Any thought can be the beginning, brand new tangled web you're spinning. Anyone could be a brand new love. Anything that holds can be broken, tear your bitter heart to the open. Anyone could be a brand new love. You won't be the first. Twisted chains is normal. Gossip dirt whispered to the nodding heads. Thrilled you fell apart instead of them. But they will. There's any hope and love can be killed. If you meet a different face, it's definite time to destroy this place. Thought could be the beginning, brand new tangled web you're spinning. Anyone could be a brand new love. Follow what you feel, you alone decide what's real. Anyone could be a brand new love. Any thought could be the beginning.
That was Brand New Love. I enjoyed doing that, girl.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. What was the tenuous link then? Let's have it.
The tenuous link was we once supported Lou Barlow, who crafted that song and wrote that song and recorded that song.
At Dingwalls in Camden.
Dingwalls in Camden. It was one of the first cheering breaks, or probably the first time we'd ever supported anyone, really.
Yep.
And we were just, you know, such big Sevado fans. I mean, still are. You know, they were the band that made it okay to record music in your kitchen with pots and pans as drum kits. That was the band. And there he was on the stage, and Gail said to him during the soundcheck how much he loved Brand New Love, and we didn't think anything of it.
And I remember, you know, I saw him, it was in the dressing room, I said, are you going to play Brand New Love? And he kind of looked up and went, yeah, I might do. But he obviously hadn't considered it.
And then the first track that he played that night, and he had, you know, it was a big night. The very first track he played was Brand New Love. And me and Gail, like, winked at each other and were like, oh, man, what a dream life we're leading here, you know. So that was for Lou Barlow. You better run over and to the other side of the room and find something to play, because this fire joke's just running out of steam. Right, I can feel it.
A little bit of Daniel Lenoir.
Oh, that's just, yes.
Kind of,
I love that. This is from a record called Belladonna, by Daniel Lanois. It sounds like soundtrack music, but it isn't, but it should be.
That there is Daniel Lanois, great producer, and obviously now a great guitarist. He's obviously been practicing quite a lot. We're running out of time, so we'd really like to come back again. We want to play something now, which is an interview with Amadou from Amadou and Mariam, which we actually recorded a while ago, but we've had trouble playing it because we keep running out of time. And the scenario was that they invited us down to join in a night they were doing at the Jazz Cafe, and kind of just join in with them on stage and play a couple of tracks and then get together and have a jam and stuff. So we had a really nice day at Jazz Cafe with various people sitting around backstage and then kind of everyone working out tracks. And eventually we got to play and it was great fun, etc. And afterwards I really want to talk to Amadou because I've been away with him before. I've met him before. And talking to him as a guitarist, he's very into or was brought up listening to the same kind of music as a lot of guitarists are, like Led Zeppelin, Peter Frampton, AC/DC. You know, if you ask him who he'd love to see, he says, oh, AC/DC. But you wouldn't think that so much when you listen to their records, and obviously the whole, if you know their story, they're a blind couple from Mali. But anyway, unfortunately, it's in French, and it's a little bit messy, but it's me as well. You can hear me struggling to speak French, but we'll just play a bit of it, see how long it takes for you to get bored. I'll just tell you where we pick it up. We pick it up from him. I'm asking him how he learned to play guitar, and he's saying, in Mali, he learnt to play. No one could afford their own instruments, so they joined the orchestra of the hotel, who would play for the tourists, and they'd play all kinds of music, like, you know, AC/DC, but Peter Frampton he mentions and stuff like that, as well as Malian music for the people that were staying in the hotel and people to visit the hotel. And the hotels would own the instruments, and they would kind of be an orchestra playing, you know, like almost like a disco orchestra for Mali. So he's just saying that. I apologise if you can't speak French, but you can hear that I can't either. So just enjoy the ambience of it for a minute or two, and then we'll come back to you.
C'était soit l'orchestre de la mairie, ou l'orchestre de la ville, ou l'orchestre de l'hôtel. Donc c'était ces gens-là qui payaient les instruments. Mais les musiciens même eux, ils ne payaient pas les instruments parce que c'était beaucoup cher pour nous de payer les guitares.
So it was actually the orchestras that were buying the instruments because the people couldn't buy them at all. They were far too expensive. So you had the kind of town hall orchestra or the city orchestra or the hotel orchestra.
Okay.
L'orchestre d'hôtel de la ville de la mairie.
C'est ça, oui, c'est ça.
C'est quoi la musique, l'orchestre du point de musique?
Nous, on a orchestre, on était dans les ambassadeurs du motel. Le motel c'était un grand hôtel, donc on jouait beaucoup de musique. On jouait du James Brown, Otis Redding, Bad Company.
Pour les touristes.
Oui, parce que c'est un hôtel où on jouait tous les soirs.
C'était pour les Maliens. Oui. Pour les touristes.
Tout le monde venait. C'était un hôtel. Oui, il y a les Maliens, il y a les étrangers. Tout le monde venait. C'était un hôtel pour les étrangers, mais il y avait les Maliens. On faisait de la musique malienne, on faisait de la musique cubaine, on faisait de la musique zaïroise, congolaise, on faisait de la musique française. C'était un orchestre de variété. Yes.
Il y a une guitare maintenant que tu...
Oui, j'ai commencé à jouer guitare Gibson avec synthétiseur Roland.
Roland,
oui, guitare Roland, c'est vrai.
Oh, maintenant?
Ah non, au Mali.
C'était au début, non?
Au Mali, oui, dans les années 77.
Maintenant, il y a une autre guitare que tu veux jouer maintenant. Maintenant, peut-être que tu veux de l'argent ou quelque chose.
Ma guitare, ça a été fabriqué pour moi, même ce que je joue là. Ouais, c'est James Tussar qui l'a fait. Donc, j'ai cette guitare là, j'ai d'autres guitares aussi, Stratocaster, j'ai beaucoup de guitares acoustiques à la maison aussi.
Ok.
So, ouais. Did you want me to clarify this? He played with a Gibson. Oh, it's a Gibson.
Shall we écrit Gibson? Ah, oui, on dit Gibson, c'est Gibson. Oui, guitare Gibson.
Alors, qu'est-ce qu'il y a avec le synthétiseur et le Roland?
Alors, Roland, c'est comme un petit ampli.
C'est un petit amplifier.
Donc, il y avait beaucoup de boutons.
Lots of buttons.
Donc, il y avait un truc qu'on branchait à la guitare.
So you could plug it into the guitar.
Et tu mets à l'ampli. Donc, moi, je réglais ça par rapport à tout ce que je voulais parce que les points là, les boutons, je les réglais par rapport à l'alphabet braille.
Oh, so yeah. All of those buttons, he arranged them in braille alphabet so that he could use it as an amplifier.
C'est ça.
Ou utiliser comme ampli.
C'est ça. Donc, les boutons, quand je faisais comme ça et puis comme ça, donc ça ressemblait à la lettre M en braille. Et quand on faisait comme ça, ça ressemblait à I. Donc je faisais mes réglages comme ça. Mais ça, c'est pour mes six personnels.
Éclage, so that's like the, keyboard. The way you play.
There we go. I'm sorry, we've run out of time and I can't really play the rest of that to you. Although it's very interesting, if you speak French, he was just explaining how he learnt music through braille and... how he had a, I think you're saying he had a MIDI controller, a MIDI synth for his guitar, and how he had Braille stickers on that, or he marked Braille on it so that he knew what he was doing. Anyway, it's just too long to play you, and we simply run out of time. But I'm going to play you a track from Amadou and Mariam, in case you don't know who they are, a track called La Réalité. Hopefully you'll be able to say something before we go.
Thanks for having us, everyone, and tweet us up if you liked it. Thank you.
Oh,
had to fade that out, I'm afraid. We're so fresh out of time. It's ridiculous. That was Amadou and Mariam. We've had a great time again. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we'll let you know if we can do this again. Hopefully we can. But what are we going to play now, Gary?
We're just going to end with Johnny Handsome, Rykuda, from a soundtrack from the film Johnny Handsome. It's kind of easy to fade out on this and to end, and it's nice and peaceful. So have a nice night, and thanks for coming.